Welcome to Emmanuel Christian Church, the house of Judah, the house at the gate. Please join us as we'll be listening to Apostle Vincent Luan, the head pastor of the Emmanuel Christian Churches.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we pray together? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, even this morning. We exalt your name, your faithfulness, your love towards us. We are grateful, Father, as we gather for your witnesses, Lord, where two or three are gathered, I am there in their midst. We thank you, Lord, for the multitude of centers across our nation and elsewhere in the world, that, Father, may you be with our people. We pray, Father, for the touch of the Holy Spirit upon our life. We pray, Father, for every listener, that, Lord, they will receive your word and that the power of God will work signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are teaching on Alelon. And today we are talking about the favor and the grace in others. You have to understand that there are others that will advance your cause. There are people you know that will do everything within their power to advance you. But at the same time, there are people that you don't know that are pushing your agenda. I pray that this year your heart will be open to forgive so that you are able to allow the grace in others to manifest in your life. Most people fail to move forward because they are unable to forgive. And most people are blind to see the potential of the relationships they have. Let me tell you the truth. Every person that has passed through your life, there is a significance for them to pass through your life. So when we say the word Alelon, A-L-L-E-L-O-N.
A-L-L-O-N.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Alelon means one another. You have to think seriously about yourself. Without others, you will be nowhere. People forget quickly. People forget too soon. The good that has been done for them. I've seen people dislodge themselves too early. As a neighbor, I had a neighbor not far from my house. They were not necessarily a house next door, but they were staying in the same area where we stayed. They were my neighbors. They have children like I have children. And one of their children graduated. And by the grace of God, he found a very good, powerful job. And within a month or so, he says, I want to leave the house to have my own place to stay. The parents were pleading with her, please don't go, stay. There's no reason. You have a bed and you have a room. But she didn't see the significance of the parents that they have played and continue to play. And she left the house to get a flat here in the city. Within 2 months, she was pleading to come back home. And that's when we started to realize that she has started to learn the significance of others in her own life. Her advancement and breakthrough is hidden in the parents that God has given to her. So we need one another to make sense of our own life. We need others that we may be healthy. We need others that our life may be built up. You see, most people behave like they are the only children that were born. You see, to be the only child, you need God's grace. Because the level of care that you have received from your parents, you might be deceived to think that everybody will treat you that way. You need others to make you to grow emotionally. So that you need others so that you can learn to share.
So
as a church, we need you. And I believe you need us. The book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35.
John 13, 34 and 35.
It says, a new commandment I give to you. That you love one another. That you love one another. One of the fascinating things about love. The English have tried, they said love is blind. But my Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. The day you see wrong in the people that you were living well with, you should know and question your own love. You see, when you are in love, it doesn't matter what everybody says. You choose to overlook because you are in love. When I talk to families and couples, when people are just about to get married, I always ask them, have you had your fights yet? And you say, oh, there's no problems. So I said, your love will be tested during the time of crisis. So the relationship is key. So you need to understand that all alone, you need me, I need you. The book of John 13 verse 34, it says, this is a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now the question is, how did Jesus love you? If we had our old church where we are shoulder to shoulder, say, ask your neighbor. You see, you have to understand that Jesus loved in a specific way. When you love, you give everything you have. You give the best of what you have. You give all that you can show your love with. But the day love is no longer there. Like today is Sunday. It's a good day to visit somebody's house. But I'm told that in some families, in some places, they will cook. You will smell the meat. When you arrive, when you knock, They say, come in. When you come in, you are hit by this nice smell of food. And your heart starts to dance and say, maybe a plate will come today. But those who don't love, the smell of meat will even finish in the house. You will stay there 1 hour. 2 hours. 3 hours. Until your stomach starts to talk to you. You say your 2 slices is better than to wait. That's when we question your love. Your love is sacrificial. Those who love, they give themselves. You first give yourself. To love Jesus, you first give yourself. Then it's easy for you to serve others. So we are talking about allelon. The ability to serve and to love others. The favor that is hidden in others. Last week we spoke about the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he understood that allelon means others. Even though Jesus was God, he needed man's favor to fulfill the great commission. He needed the womb of Mother Mary. He needed the care of Joseph. He needed the favor of John the Baptist. John in the book of John says, behold the Lamb of God. You see, there are places you can go, you will never be received. Until somebody says, so and so is here. I've been in places where somebody has already spoken. The level of care that I receive It shows that I have had my John the Baptist. So I want you to have great hope in this life. Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciple when you love one another. Fighting will come. That's why the Lord said, you must forgive 77 times 7. We only have 20 fingers, 10 fingers, 10 toes. That's 20. So all of them are
20.
Hallelujah. The Bible doesn't say forgive. You can't come to a person as a Christian and say, I forgave you yesterday. Because today is a new day. Maybe you are hurt so bad. It's a time to pray for divine healing and divine health. The love of God is able to touch places where even a best surgeon cannot touch. May the Lord forgive your unforgiveness. May the Lord heal your brokenness. I said, receive healing for your brokenness in the name of Jesus. May the Lord restore your lost hope in others in the name of Jesus. You see, you have to understand. Today, you might meet people that look very insignificant. At some stage, I was a child. Today, I'm an adult. There are people who didn't treat me very well. I remember one day I met the person. The person needed a service. And I remembered, this person did not treat me so well. But I said, you will not change the person I am. Vengeance is of the Lord. Vengeance is of the Lord. Revenge belongs to God. So I said, I will serve the person and I will behave like he never did anything to me. Not knowing that the same person will trumpet my greatness. Can you imagine if I decided, oh, you did this to me, I'm going to do it to you. It's my turn now. Can you say alelon? Can you say I believe in others? You see, you have to learn to have trust. When you believe, things work together for your good. Don't always agree with people who are negative. Yes, we are in a broken world. And all of us, we are broken. The experiences we have received from others, and the experiences we have given to others, they are extremely unpleasant. But I want you to have hope that
alelon,
loving one another and spending time together will help us. I should say to all of our viewing centers and those listening through the radio and whatever form of broadcasting you are listening to, we are going to have communion at the end, as we always do. So, since you have the freedom, please prepare the communion. May the Lord be with you. I want you to have an understanding. You can succeed in life without others. You can't serve without being humble. We spoke about the humility of Jesus. Most South Africans are proud. Can I repeat? Most South Africans are proud. If they are poor, they are worse. Because even when you want to help somebody, they will say, who said I need help? You know, there are certain things I can see you need in your life. Do you know why people come for the prophetic service? Because they want some help. They want the word of God to speak into their lives. They want the man of God to say something about their situation. But most of the time, God will use the person you live with daily. If you have brothers and sisters and you have a spiritual ear, when they speak daily, even about ordinary things, if you are tuned to heaven, God uses ordinary everyday people to speak into our life. God uses his own words. When you read the scriptures, they become alive within your life. Jesus recognized this. And that is why he allowed himself to lower himself. Let me tell you the truth. You will not receive help. You will not advance in life. You will not be a great person unless you are humble. I became a manager around 26, 27. Somebody loved me. You know, they decided, we are going to make you a manager. I believe there were many people. By 28, I was a senior manager. I was earning a lot of money as a young boy. But one thing always worked for me. I served those who led me. I remember one day I had a supervisor, a
manager,
who was hostile. He was fighting our senior manager. So the senior manager realized this man is polarizing the whole workforce. The senior manager was very kind. He promoted this junior manager to come and take his place so that he can experience what the senior manager is experiencing. So he gave him the position. I tell you, the man suffered. I think I left before he was chased out of the office. So his inability to flow. Let me tell you something about relationships. Some relationships, you force yourself into them. You have to have a bigger and divine understanding that certain people, you need them, even though they might not be pleasant people. You see, I don't have to be a relative of the president. But I know as a citizen, we need a president. Recently, they stole our money. And the president is the only one who says they are going to jail. Without him, the nation will be destroyed. You have to understand that you need somebody. The same president, I gave the story many years ago. We were in China with my wife. And we are among the Chinese and other people of color, but more white than our color. And the yellow people, the Chinese. And as we walked around, we didn't know where we are going. We just landed, booked the hotel close to where we were, and we said, let's go and see how China looks like. We had no agenda to buy anything. And when we were walking in the city square, an Egyptian man of a different faith, when he saw us, that's why I say I believe in angels. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in divine provisions. I believe in the hand of God. God sent a man we do not know. The man said, oh, where do you come from? Then we just answered, we said, South Africa. He said, oh, Mandela.
Mandela.
And we said, yes. When we said yes, he was asking us, how are you doing? How's Mandela doing? Listen, I became the relative of the former president. So I told him, I said, the president is doing fine. All is going very well. He's strong and things are working in our country. The Egyptian didn't know that he's got our way. He says, there is a city I can take you to. He says, I'll buy you the tickets. Listen, we didn't say anything. I mean, we have no agenda. So we say yes. So the angel bought the tickets. He says, no, we are not taking a bus, we are taking a fast train. So we got into the fast train.
It
says the trip will take 2 hours. Can you imagine? We are leaving another city to another city. And he says the city is like 300-350 from here. Our bags and everything was in the hotel. We didn't want to say, oh wait, we are going to the hotel.
We
said the angel is here. Relationships.
Come on.
We succeeded because of the goodness of Nelson Mandela. And the reputation of our nation, South Africa. The man made us to arrive where we were going. Or where he thought we are going. He took us to some hotels and showed us all the different areas where we could stay. But he said most South Africans love this hotel.
Alelon.
One another. We arrived with my wife. We were dressed like, you know, professionals. I was putting on the suit. My wife was dressed well. One South African, when he saw us, he says, we could see these are not people who are doing business in China. The way you are dressed, you are showing your person, you are executives. Listen, unless you are humble, we didn't argue with this angel that the Lord gave to us. Can I tell you something? God will send you a man. God will send you a person. Don't become academic. Don't become the know-it-all. If you behave that way, the humility that Jesus had made him to fulfill his God-given mission. Think about this. John the Baptist says to Jesus, listen, you are the one who's supposed to baptize me. And my Bible says Jesus spoke to him, saying, for the scriptures to be fulfilled, I must be submitted to you. I don't know you understand. If it was you, you say, I'm the boss here. And then Jesus will not fulfill his mission. And John was able to say the Lamb of God. He was able to say this is the Son of God. Who takes away the sin of the world. May the grace of God be with you. I want you to understand humility is key. Don't forget, as you help others, you yourself will be helped. You see, I'm a pastor today. I was an assistant somewhere many years ago. And I didn't leave where I was. Any church I've been, I've never left. Because I understand one great principle of the relationship. My fathers, I've not sought to change them. You know, some people, they meet a person in the morning. I had a son in the Lord. We were working well. He's here in the city. And one day he comes. He says, I wanted to officially declare I'm no longer your son. So I had to take him through the lesson of life. I said to him, my father is an old man now. He's still my father. He has played a major role in my life. And he still plays a major role in my life. Not all that he says now is more relevant to me. But as a child, at least once a month, I go and sit with my father, almost for half a day. I do everything he wants me to do. He knows that once a month, I'll come and attend to his needs. Then I told him, I said, curses are with the parents. And blessings are with them. You cannot disown your parents. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying. Some people have that kind of a tendency to disown themselves and curse themselves. And when they finish, they say, I'm cursed. Somebody asked me after they left, are you cursed? I said, how can you curse your own child? The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. And the Bible says, this is a commandment with a blessing. So I said, farewell. See you. Until people get into trouble, it's then that they remember, oh, by the way, you are my father. Cherish every moment of every relationship you have. Never undermine any experience. Pay attention to the people you meet daily. Be conscious that your success and achievement comes through other people. I gave you an example. I became a manager at a young age. Because somebody, I was always saving. And somebody gave me a job. Gave me a senior job. My last manager that I served was half my age. Or possibly almost once. It could go three times into, 1.5 times into my age. And when she needed things, I served. And when I'm done with my job, I'll go and say, can I help you? And I'll do the same with some of our slow workers. So that they do their job. Then I became, a phenomena in my workspace. Everybody liked me. The CEO and everybody. People will say, "Uba jisitse
mbathuba."
Uba file kaing.
Wena gano uba file kaing.
So I want to challenge you this morning. Your humility. Pay attention to the people around you. There is somebody you are sitting close to, you might think they are insignificant. But they play a major role in your latter life. I've taken people to university. I've paid for them. And some of them, when they graduate, they come back and say, I'm here to stay. And always I say to them, go and do the same to somebody else. I don't own you. Because somebody did almost the same to me. I am who I am because others contributed in the I am I am. I pray that you receive this message in the name of Jesus. You know, there is not much amens in the church. For those who are viewing, can you say amen wherever you are?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, humility will take you far. The favor and the grace in others is amazing. I am who I am. Because you have made me to be who I am. I'm never intoxicated. When other people celebrate me outside, I tell them I am made. I am made by my people. They are the ones who are carrying the greater weight of the work of the ministry. They are the ones who are building the churches. They are the ones who are winning souls. I'm just the face of the church. I'm grateful. And I recognize that some of the young children that are here, there will be some of our most powerful preachers of the gospel of Jesus. There will be some of our financiers of building new churches. So we do not take children for granted. We are very conscious of them. And we are aware that the success and the breakthrough of our church is because of them. There are people that are supporting you that you know. But there are people that are supporting you that you don't know. Over time, I've come to acknowledge that. Certain pathways are opened by others. May the Lord have mercy. To succeed, you need to be helped. Did you hear what I said? To succeed, you need somebody to help you. To buy this building as a church many years ago, somebody had to help us. Somebody assisted us. Somebody aided us to be able to do much more. For us to plant a church in the UK, it doesn't come because you are a supernatural, powerful individual. You just arrive in the UK and people will be kneeling down and say, Bayete, Bayete. No, it doesn't work that way. There was somebody that God used. And that person, one time in my life, has been part of my life. In essence, we are a family today. You can't distinguish between us and her. Our relationship has grown far deeper. It's more stronger than it has ever been. I want you to have an understanding. I've been in America. I have preached powerfully there. It would not have been possible had not it been for others who aided and mention my name in a foreign country. My first visit to America, somebody made my name known. The bishop there said, I want the men to come. And I've been to America so many times. I just need somebody to open the door. You need help. You need others to succeed. Only humble people are able to receive help. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26:15 tells us about the king that he was helped marvelously. The Bible gives a very clear picture that God aided him for us to plant and to, as we are doing three buildings at the same time, for us to plant and do these two buildings is because God is helping us marvelously. And the Bible says, and the book of
2 Chronicles 26:15.
It says, and he made devices in Jerusalem. He made devices in Jerusalem. And invented by skillful men. Hallelujah. And it says, and on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and large stones, so his fame spread far and wide. For he was marvelously helped. I want to challenge you this morning that God will use people to help you marvelously. May you receive your help this morning in the name of Jesus. May you receive divine guidance in the name of Jesus. May you be builded up by the help of others in the name of Jesus. You have to understand. The Bible tells us about David, mighty man. When David was disillusioned, when David was confused, when David was running away, not knowing what will be of his life, the Bible tells us after many years, David had been king. The Bible talks about David's mighty man. I want us to read it, 1 Chronicles 11:10.
1 Chronicles 11:10.
1 Chronicles 11:10 says, the mighty man of David.
It
says, now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him. Now you have to understand, the Bible says, who strengthened themselves. Maybe you don't know that when you help others, you are busy strengthening yourself. There are certain things that when you do for others, you become better yourself. I do counseling consistently almost daily. And sometimes after I've given advice, I say, I've never given myself that advice. And then I have learned from solving that problem. And the Bible says, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom. You see, when you build with God, God will build you. You'll become strong and mighty. When I was working together with others, I was helping them, but in the process I was helped. I succeeded far than my peers. I did more things than my peers. Why? Because I engaged myself in the life of others. The Bible says they strengthen themselves. I feel pity for the pastors who always are by themselves. I feel pity by the people who, when they get promoted, they start to become insolent and individuals. We usually say success can become your enemy. You are eating with us, sleeping with us, struggling together with us. Suddenly that now you can afford 2 slices of bread. You are no longer our friend. You know, there used to be a story many years ago that showed a man who graduated. He was the only graduate in the village. So now and then he will put on his regalia, the graduation gown, and his belt, and walk around in the village. Then go around and look down on people and say, hey, you are really poor. And he will say, how are you down there? Because according to him, his education has made him big. I want to challenge you today. Every person plays a major role. Don't be deceived by their standard in life. Every person has a part to play. David was a nobody. This man, the Bible says, they strengthened themselves with him. In the process of building the house of David, they built their own life. South Africa, let us build our country. Don't allow people to steal our cables. Don't allow yourself to be a thief together with them. Don't be the one who weakens. When you steal, you are weakening yourself. You know, there are people who intend to destroy. They have the character of Satan. Jesus says Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So this man came to strengthen themselves with David. And David's kingdom was established. The Bible says they strengthened themselves with him. And Israel was secured.
Israel.
As we round up, I want to challenge you. The book of 1 Samuel 22, verse 2.
1 Samuel 22, verse 2.
The same men that are called mighty men. The Bible describes them in verse 2 of chapter 22 of 1 Samuel.
Verse 2 of 1 Samuel 22.
And it says, these are the same men, the same 400 men that joined themselves with David. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, it's like it's a South Africa, he's talking about us. What do you think? Everyone in distress, may the Lord heal you from your distress in the name of Jesus. May you find a new job in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May your business be established in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May everything that has bothered you is destroyed now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And he says, and everyone who was in debt. This is the story of all of us. May the Lord deliver you from any debt in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And it says, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. All those who were discouraged, they gathered themselves to him. Can I tell you the truth? The power of God is upon your life. You see, your hidden talent and grace is not seen until you attach yourself to men like David. We have said to you, come, let us build together. Come, let us build the house of God. Keep yourself in the house of the Lord. The mighty men of David were in distress at some time in their life. They were in debt in some time in their life. They were uncomfortable some stage in their life. But the Bible tells us they gathered themselves. Listen, you will be great if you allow yourself to be gathered in the name of Jesus. Somebody was saying, oh, the church is doing well. I say, only churches that are together, they will do well. Jesus said, a house divided against itself will not stand. The Bible says, and there were about 400 men with him. These were men with David. Luke chapter 2, 25. The Bible tells us about Simeon. The man who waited for the revelation of Jesus. You have to understand there are people that you need to pray so that you can have them in your life. You must have a Simeon in your life. You see, when you have a Simeon in your life and you have Anna, you know, we are going to teach as we go on Alelon about the prophetic words that are spoken into your life. I know most parents don't get it when you say, bring your children and make, when you do the dedication, proclaim blessings upon them. If you listen to Simeon, I'm going to try and read the greater part, even though time is not for us. Verse 25 of the book of Luke chapter 2 says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. So you have to understand, he was a righteous man. He was devout. And the Bible says he was waiting for the salvation of Israel. There is a woman, a prophetess, her name is Anna. You need a prophet in your life in the name of Jesus. You see, the Bible says Anna was married for 7 years. The husband died. And she continued with prayer and fasting, waiting for the revelation of Jesus. Simeon was there also. He waited for Jesus. I pray that your attitude will change from today. That you will be a righteous man. That you will create a space for others. Verse 26 says, and it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he will not see death before he has seen the Lord's Christ. I don't know if it's still happening. We try and teach as much. My life has been a life that there's a time when the Holy Spirit says, pray, and you pray. When we pray, we experience what Simeon experienced. You start to see the grace of God upon your life, that you are a channel, a pathway for others to pass through. You see, we usually, all of us have water. Maybe I shouldn't say all of us. Whosoever has a tap, there are pipes attached, connected to a dam somewhere. So you have to understand that you are just a conduit. People, things go through you. Simeon has an understanding of the revelation and the call of God that he will not die until Christ is revealed. So Simeon and Anna stayed and prayed for the revelation of Jesus. Even today, I'm still praying, Lord, may you give me men and women who will pray for the revelation of my life in the name of Jesus. Verse 27 says, and he came in the spirit into the temple. He came led by the spirit into the church. And the Bible says, and when the parent brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. Verse 28 says he took up his arms and blessed the Lord God. Hallelujah. It says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. That you may preserve the presence of all, that you have prepared for the presence of all your people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. For the glory to your people Israel. Now listen to this. Verse 33 says, and his father, that's the parent of Jesus, his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. For you to succeed, you need people who will speak even when you don't understand. I pray that when we take the short prayer, you will pray, Lord, make me to be a conduit, a
thoroughfare.
I pray that, Lord, you make me to speak things that are good about others in their absence. It's very funny when Christians don't agree together. May the Lord have mercy. Let me close this because we have to have communion in a minute. The book of John chapter 1 verse 29.
John 1 verse 29.
John the Baptist says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world. To all those who are listening and watching, I'm saying to you, behold, Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Bible says all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What profit will it be for a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Bible tells us at the end of time, all of us will stand for judgment before the Lord for the works that we have done while we were alive. That's why we are teaching on Alelon. To be kind, to be merciful, to be loving to others. All that is good. But when you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all this becomes dung. Because it's not in our righteousness that we are saved. But it is in the grace of God. The Bible says all have sinned. John chapter 3 verse 17.
John 3 verse 17.
He says God has not sent his son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Today you can receive Jesus. Your life can be changed. Your life can be transformed. I'm going to lead in prayer. Wherever you are. And those who are with us here in the building. I'll ask of you to follow me. That you may receive Jesus. And as we do this. All the viewing centers. The pastors and the MMs. Whatever leader you have. Please lead your people to salvation as they follow. But at the same time, we're going to take communion. So make your communion people to be ready. Please follow me as I lead. Can you say, Father?
Father.
I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I recognize the death of Jesus on the cross, that He died for me. Today, I recognize I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord, forgive me all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash my sins with the blood of Jesus. With my mouth I speak and with my heart I believe that Jesus is Lord. I thank you, Father. For your word says, if I pray this prayer, I will be saved. In Sotho, please follow me. Can you say, Morana Jesu, ke a go amogela, bjale ka morana le mopolosi, ntshwarele dibitsaka, nketse ngwana wa gago. Ke a leboga, ka molomo ke a bua, ka pelo ke a dumela, gore Jesu Kriste ke morena. Amen. We give thanks to the Lord. Can we give a powerful clap offering to Jesus?